Blog Talk Radio.
Besides on my show today, I will be reading from the Book of Chan. It says, I am Jackie Chan, so I will also be reading it live, too. And also on live stream, I'll be able to show the things that I have of Jackie Chan on my show. So I have no idea what's going to happen later on. But anyway, I wanted to read about Jackie himself. And just to let you know, the call-in numbers I want to post to my Facebook page. Give me one moment. I just got to post this. Let's see. Hold on. I'm just putting this. Anybody wants to wish happy birthday to Jackie Chan in this number. I'm typing this on my Facebook page. Let's see. I'm trying to do everything here. Okay. And posting it to my Facebook. Anybody who wants to wish a happy birthday to Jackie Chan, call-in number is 347-989-1473. 347-989-1473. And you can also do the link. You can click onto the link on the show. And I wanted to read my dilapidated book that's falling apart here. I'd like to read a little bit about Jackie. Now, I wanted to see how well this would go, but this is something that I have to be careful with this book because it's really, really falling apart. And I'm just going here. Let's see. I'm trying to see. I've read some of it before, but since it's actually, this is something that I wanted to look in the chapters of the book because I did read some of the other stuff, but I might reread it again about Jackie's life because we don't know about Jackie who, you know, he's a great stuntman and stuff, but this is actually something, and I think I have read it and stuff, and I will reread this stuff again on my live stream account in video because I think it's really good to know other stuff behind Jackie's stunts and such. And this is why I'm reading it again. And this is actually from his book, I Am Jackie Chan, My Life in Action. And this is actually what's first written in the book. It's called Prologue, Taking Flight. And once again, I'm going to try to pronounce this stuff as best as I can here. And this is from Jackie's book. I'm standing in the sky. Hold on for a second here. I'm trying to fix this. My book is falling apart. Okay. Book don't fall apart. I'm standing in the sky on the roof of a glass and steel office tower in Rotterdam, Holland. There are 21 floors of air between me and the concrete pavement below. I'm about to do what I do best. I'm about to jump. My stuntmen tell me that the fall is safe. Well, not safe, but maybe a little less than deadly. Of course, they're only tried the jump from the 16th floor, and as I watched the test footage late last night, alone in our production offices, I realized that a 16th floor fall was too predictable, too possible. After all, my producer had been bragging to the reporters that this would be the world's most dangerous stunt. And who would I be if I didn't live up to my press, not Jackie Chan? So, with my director and my co-stars and the executives at the studio, I've decided to add 5 stories to the stunt. That's 60 more feet of very thin air through which my 45-year-old body will be sliding. Now, mind this, Jackie is 60 years old, but the book is a little bit older, so I'm just reading from him. So it says, you know, around that time period, you probably figure out when he actually had this book published. A few more seconds of excitement for the cameras. A few more screams from an audience starving for adrenaline. The formula is simple. The more terrified my friends and family are, the more satisfied my fans will be. And they mean everything to me. They come to the theater hungry for a hero, for someone who can laugh at disaster, who can make funny faces at death, someone who can show them for real that the only thing to fear is fear itself. But whoever said that never stood on a roof in Rotterdam. He never looked down over the edge of a skyscraper to see a foam target 250 feet below. From here, the mattresses look like a postage stamp. Well, it's mattress, that means single, so I said, you know, so it's once again, it's from here. The mattress looks like a postage stamp. When I hold out both hands in front of my face, I can just about cover it entirely. Sorry to contradict you, Mr. Whoever, but the only things to fear are fear itself, and hitting the ground at 100 miles per hour with nothing between you and the emergency room but a few inches of foam rubber, I'm tired. My heart feels like a rock in my chest. My body screams at me about the abuse I've put it through over the last four decades. Parts of me I can't even pronounce are complaining about how badly I've treated them. And despite the mob of extras milling around the base of the building, hundreds of Dutch Marines and firefighters and police looking nervously up at the sky, I think to myself, is this jump really necessary? But the answer is there as soon as I ask the question. Yes, because this jump is special. It isn't just for the fans and the critics and the box office charts. This one is for the man who made it possible for me to stand here today, aching and shivering in the spotlight. This is for my master. And once again, I do have problems pronouncing, and I will spell this because, believe it or not, people, it is important to get a person's name, you know, corrected, and it really is important. Now, people may not think so, maybe in the film industry, but I really do. And I know I have the Boston accent, and I try to pronounce things the best I can, and I mean that out of respect. So after I try to say the name, I will spell it. So they do deserve the honor of having it pronounced correctly. Once again, I talk kind of funny, so I will try to pronounce this, the names in the book as best as I can. It says, this is for my master, Yu Jim Yun, Yu-Jim-Yuen, who was buried a week ago in Los Angeles. My trip from Holland to California for the funeral brought production to a grinding stop, costing Golden Harvest nearly $250,000. They knew better than tell me not to go, even if for them every wasted dollar is like a drop of spilled blood. I remember a frightened 7-year-old walking into the dark and musty halls of the China Drama Academy, holding his father's hand. Inside, we see young boys and girls leaping and tumbling and screaming, paradise. How long do you want to be stay here? Oh, sorry. How long do you want to stay here, Jackie? Forever. Answers the boy, his eyes bright and wide, and he lets go of his father to clutch at the hem of his master's robe. For the next 10 years, I sweated and cried and bled under master's hands. I cursed his name when I went to sleep at night, and I swallowed my fear and hatred of him when I woke up in the morning. He asked for everything we had, and we gave it to him, under pain of injury and even death. When we came of age, we realized he'd given it all back, interest. It was Master Yu Jin Young who created Jackie Chan, and I do what I do today. I am what I am today because of him. And so this leap is in his memory, a final act of gratitude, a last gesture of defiance. Someone slapped me on the back, asked me if I'm ready. I nod, barely understanding. Another voice calls for quiet on the set, and suddenly the only sound is the wind and the blood rushing in my ears, and my heart beginning to pound like a giant drum. Camera, rolling, action. And I suck in my churning stomach, launch myself into the sky, I fly, and I remember. And that was the first chapter. Just responding back here. Let's see. Yes, I was right. It's like, yep. Let's see. Yeah, I'm reading Jackie's book. I'm responding to Jackie's. I am reading his book. On the air. So I'm just responding to this right here. You have a good day too. Okay, I just typed it in. Okay. Now the next chapter in the book. Okay, it says The Young Master. I was born on April 7, 1954, the only son of Charles and Lee Lee Chan. They named me Chan Kung Sang, which means born in Hong Kong, Chan. I guess my parents were very original when it came to names, or maybe they just wanted to celebrate their relief making it to Hong Kong. As survivors of a breathless escape from the turmoil of the mainland, Hong Kong was the promised land, a place that offered safety and prosperity, a place where new lives could begin. By the Chinese calendar, 1954 was the year of the horse. According to superstition, the horse is a sign of energy, ambition, and success. It's a good year to be born if you're a boy, not such a good one if you're a girl, because tradition says that a female horse will have trouble finding a proper husband. And my parents were happy that I came into the world under such a fortunate sign. Of course, my arrival in the year of the horse was hardly a coincidence. Actually, it took an awful lot of stubbornness on my part to pull it off. Most babies are born 9 months after being conceived. I, on the other hand, stuck around an extra 3 months until my mother was forced to go to a surgeon to bring me into the world, kicking and screaming by a cesarean section. So that means that Jackie's mother was actually pregnant with him for what, a year? Wow. Maybe it was my rebellious streak that made me refuse to join my parents on time. Or maybe it was premonition of what my future would hold. After all, while comfortably inside my mother, I had privacy, sleep, and all the food I could ever ask for without having to fight or work or suffer. In fact, I can only say that those extra 3 months were the easiest time of my life. Nothing like that waited for me in the world outside. Hong Kong in the 50s was a hard and restless place, and my family's position there was at the very bottom of the social ladder, among the thousands of destitute migrants who fled to the British colony after the mainland's communist revolution. Still, as poor as we were, we felt lucky to have survived China's civil war, and especially grateful that my parents had good jobs in the strange new society of the island. Many of our fellow refugees had arrived in Hong Kong with nothing but the clothes on their back and the memories of what they left behind. They lived in shacks in the islands, turning the page here, crowded ghettos, making paper flowers and cheap trinkets to survive, or turning to less socially accepted and more dangerous pursuits. It was a bad time to be poor, but then again, when is it ever a good time to be poor? As the crowds of new immigrants grew, the colony's swelling population divided into two groups, the determined and the desperate. On the one hand, there were those who embraced the city's unspoken philosophy, work hard and you'll survive, do well, maybe even get rich. But meanwhile, on the lower parts of the city, the lives of many of our fellow newcomers were filled with hunger, crime, and fear. We would belong to the first group, the lucky ones. Soon after coming to the island, my father and mother found employment with the French ambassador to Hong Kong, a kind gentleman with a warm and caring family. Dad became the ambassador's cook and handyman. My mother was a housekeeper. And so when I was born, I found myself not on the top streets of lower Hong Kong, but in a mansion on the exclusive slopes of Victoria Peak, the home of the wealthy, the famous, the powerful, and me. I don't recall the house itself too well. It was big, I remember, and very grand. In the front rooms, well-dressed Westerners and sometimes Chinese would chat and take tea or listen to music. Upstairs, the ambassador's family had their quarters, huge rooms, and high ceilings and windows that opened out onto the lights of the city below. But I didn't see these parts of the house very often. This was a different world from the one in which my family lived. Our place was the rear of the mansion, divided from the air and light on the front by a small door. If you were to open the door and pass through, you'd find yourself in a long, narrow hall that ran along the length of the house, the highway of our world. It was usually dark in that quarter, except where meals were being served, so it might be easy to find your way around by smell and sound than by sight. Here's a quick tour of our world. To your right, the first door of the corridor, the noise of chopping and sizzling and occasional curse, the aroma of roasting meat and vegetables simmering in fragrant peanut oil. That would be the kitchen, where my father spent his mornings and afternoons preparing food for the ambassador's family. Farther down the corridor, the slush of the trickling water and the sweet melody of hummed folk song, the laundry room, where my mother washed mountains of fluffy white linens in the family's fine, beautiful clothing. And then the smell of incense and wool and dried grass matting, the gentle noise of an infant breathing. This would be our family's bedroom, where my mother and father all slept together. Our room was tiny, and it was not what you would probably consider comfortable. There was no windows, and the walls and floors were clean, but bare. The furniture had all been made by my father's hands, and there wasn't much of it. A bunk bed, some benches, and a storage trunk. My parents slept together in the top bunk of the bed, and I slept in the bottom one. From the top bunk, you could reach up and touch the ceiling. Four long steps would take from wall to wall. This was all the home I knew for the first 6 years of my life. I was happy there, despite the cramped quarters and the simple furnishing. Actually, I didn't know at the time just how good I had it. The next place I'll call home would make our small room seem like a palace. But I hadn't finished the tour. Follow the corridor to its end, and you hear the buzz of flies, and your nose would wrinkle like the pungent odors of mold and aging food. This alcove at the end of the hall would be the rubbish room, where the household garbage was stored during the day to be disposed of at night. By the time I was a small child, I get to know the room very well. More on why later. I mentioned that I started giving trouble to my parents even before I was born. Of all the crazy stunts I've done, in my opinion, nothing compares to my mother's achievement, surviving nearly an entire year of pregnancy and giving birth to a healthy baby who weighed 12 pounds at delivery. Both my parents were shocked when I finally arrived. My father said he'd never seen such a big baby in his life. He and Mom nicknamed me Pao Pao, which in Chinese for cannonball. I'm sure my mother was glad that she didn't have to give birth to me naturally. There was a price to pay for my safe and sound arrival, of course. The bill for my mother's surgery came to Hong Kong, $500, about $26, and my parents' savings didn't come close to covering that cost. But the lady doctor who performed the surgery must have been impressed by me, too, because afterwards she approached my nervous father with the deal. She had no kids of her own. She explained to him, and she knew he and my mother had no money. If my father would allow her to adopt me, she would be willing to pay for the cost of the surgery and mother's hospital stay, even giving my parents an additional adoption fee of Hong Kong $1,500. I'm not angry about the fact that my father thought long and hard about the offer. 2,000 Hong Kong dollars was a lot of money back then, and poor children were regularly given to wealthier friends and relatives to bring up in those days. Maybe it would have been for the best because the later doctor would have brought me up in style. But I was my parents' only son. I was a symbol of their new start in Hong Kong. I was born under a lucky sign, and I was big and healthy. My father went home and talked about the doctor's offer with some of his friends, who all said the same thing. There was something special about me, the 12-month, 12-pound baby, and I grew up to be a great man. And if I grew up to be a great man, my father would always regret giving me up. Dad's friends lent him the money to pay off the hospital debt, and after thanking the doctor for her skillful surgery and generous offer, he took my mother and me home to the big house on the peak. And the next chapter says family stories. That's the story how I was born, or at least that's the one my dad told me all my life anyways. But inside every story hides another one. Over the years, I found out a little more about our secret history, about what my parents left behind in China when they came to Hong Kong. The real reason I was too special to give away. If you look at pictures of my father as a young man, your first impression would be that this is a man of great strength and enormous pride. And of course, you'd be right. Dad was born in China's Shandong province, the land of the famous North Clan and the birthplace of many legendary warriors and martial artists. His family was a very respected one, and even as a small child, he was expected to go on to great things. Now, back then, Shanghai was the style capital of Asia. All the finest things and people in China could be found in this one city where art, fashion, philosophy, and society reached their height of sophistication. The Chans brought their promising son there at the age of 3, grooming him to become the society's leader. When he came into adulthood, he was married to the daughters of another respectable family. I don't know if he was happy there, but I have to assume he was. My father and his wife lived together with the approval of their clans. They shared a roof and a household name, and they had children. I found this out just a few years ago. I knew my father always sent money back home to relatives in China. Sometimes it was for his brother, other times his sister. I never met any other member of his family, so I didn't have any reason to ask him any further questions. And really, I don't have that much curiosity in my personality. But then something happened that made me curious in spite of myself. The mail had just arrived, and I was going through it. Nothing interesting, bills, invitation to events, and an unsigned letter from the mainland addressed to my dad. He wasn't at home, and suddenly I realized that I wanted to know more about this mystery. And those unasked, unanswered questions about my family, so I opened the envelope. Dearest father, I knew I had sent the letter. I knew I hadn't sent the letter. I looked at the envelope again. It was sent to my house in my dad's name. And inside the envelope, something else, a photograph of 3 old men. We miss you, continued the letter. My brother is my dad's son. I've never seen them before in my life. When my father came home, I waved the letter in his face. What's this, I shouted? Who are these guys? His face went stiff like stone. You don't need to know, Jackie, he said quietly. You don't need to know. And he took the letter and the photograph away. We never talked about it again. That's how I feel about my half-brothers. The rest of his history isn't very clear. I know that it involved in the Japanese. When the armies invaded China, they turned the nation upside down. Chinese were fighting Chinese in Shanghai. The city they called the Jewel of the East became a place of fear. My father's family had to abandon everything it owned. And even more, my father was forced to leave behind his sons and his wife. I don't think she survived the war. At this time, my mother was also in Shanghai. She was from a very poor background, so she had none of the advantages of my father's upbringing. Like my father, she was married. Like my father, in the turmoil of the war, she had to leave her husband and family behind. She escaped the terror by hiding from the Japanese troops, scavenging food, and making a dangerous journey on foot to the coast. It was in Shandong, that my ancestral home, that she met my dad. Despite the differences in the background, the world had turned them into equals, two refugees, still mourning the loss of their loved ones. Somehow, Dan managed to bring her with him on the boat and smuggled him out of the mainland. They got married soon after safely reaching Hong Kong, and not long after that, I was on my way. All through my childhood, they always told me that I was an only child and their special son. This is part of the reason why I was so shocked to find out about my brothers, but that shock was just the beginning. My mother is very old now, and even though my wife has always helped to take care of her some years ago, it became clear that she needed someone to be with her all the time, to live with her in my parents' house in Australia. One day when I went to visit them, the person who answered the door was a strange old woman. She didn't introduce herself as she brought me to see my mother, but somehow she seemed familiar. "Hi, Mom, who's the new housekeeper?" I asked. My mother looked at me in silence for a few moments. "She isn't a housekeeper," she said finally. "Son, meet your sister." Even today, I don't know everything. I don't think I want to know. My mother told my manager, Willie, the whole story once, and he came running over to tell me that it would make a fantastic movie. I told him that if it would, I don't want to make it. I don't want to find out that I have more brothers and sisters, or that my father isn't my real father, or that my mother isn't my real mother. A secret history belongs where it is now, in the past. Still, I guess you can see my parents were reluctant to give me up. They might have been other children lost in the branches of the family tree, but who knew at the same time that they survived the war? Besides, I was the only child they shared, the only son of Charles and Lily Chan. Sometimes I wonder if it would have been like to have known my half-brothers and sisters growing up. But being an only child had its advantages, too, most of which had to do with my mother. Without any competition with the siblings, I had all of my mother's attention, which, of course, is exactly what I demanded. As a toddler, I remember watching my mother do the chores that filled her waking hours. A large part of her day was spent in the laundry room, washing, ironing, and folding, and it would crawl around her feet, pulling down sheets, putting soap chips in my mouth, and nearly tripping her, and she carried hot water from the running taps to scrub the basin. Eventually, Mom did what she always did when she needed a little bit of peace. She filled a big tub with warm water and put me inside, let me splash and play. I wasn't any easy to take care of when evening arrived, either, restless in my lower bunk. I would scream and cry throughout the night. Noise would not only keep up my hardworking parents, it would sometimes filter upstairs to the ambassador's bedroom, waking his patient but light sleeping wife. I can only imagine my parents' embarrassment when the wife of the employee came down in the nightgown and rolled to the servant's quarter, asked them very politely to quiet their obnoxious child. When this happened, my mother would pick me up and bring me outside in the mansion's back garden, cradling me in her arms and gently shooing those tears away from the straw fan. While she held me, she would hum a soft melody without words until, finally, I went to sleep. Every child thinks his mother is best in the world, but my mom really is the greatest. She had no education, no opportunities in life, and she's a very traditional Chinese woman who devoted her entire life to her husband and to her son. I never remember her going out and never saw her in makeup or fancy clothing. I don't even remember her spending money on herself. Everything was for the family. Even now, when I can afford to buy her anything, the things she chooses to wear are the things she bought 40 years ago. I remember one day when I was in Australia visiting her, all of a sudden she turned to me and said, "Son, can you give me $120? It was a strange request. Why such a weird amount? If you give me $120, I'll turn it into $1,000. It made me blink. "How?" I asked. "My mother's a wonderful woman, but she's no musician or financial wizard." She smiled. "I'll show you." I followed her as she left the living room and walked down the corridor to her bedroom. "Reach up and get that bag, Jackie," she said. I stood on my toes and grunted as I pulled down the suitcase. It was almost brand new, one of the ones I bought her. She never used them when she traveled, preferring the old battered bag she had since my parents lived in Hong Kong. Inside the suitcase were clothes she no longer wore, but she couldn't bear to throw away. Lifting out and setting aside some old sweaters, she pulled out a huge bundle of wrinkled, faded bills. I looked at it in shock. Not a single one of the bills were an denomination greater than $20. There were hundreds of ones and fives and tens, and all added up to $880. This was the money she saved from over 20 years of keeping house, tips from ambassadors and presidents and members of parliament, all of people she cleaned up for and straightened up after. "Mom, give me the money. I'll give you $10,000 in Australian cash." So we traded, and you know what? We had dinner with friends that night, and we spent her whole sack, 20 years of my mother's life, and boom, we ate it in one meal. I said before that there are advantages to being an only child. Well, there are also disadvantages, most of which had to do with my father. How much easier would my childhood have been if only I had siblings to share the burden of my father's expectations? You see, Dad, like his Shandong ancestors, was a warrior at heart. man of great courage and determination. He was proud that he had managed to overcome everything fate had thrown his way, all the tragedy and suffering in years of back-breaking labor. The Japanese army conquered China, he would often boast, but they could never conquer the Chinese. This is why our civilization has survived for thousands of years. To a Chinese man, suffering is like rice. It only makes us stronger. From this followed a scary kind of logic. Pain gives you discipline. Discipline is at the root of manhood, and so, to be a real man, one must suffer as much as possible. Because bringing me into the world was so expensive, Dad was especially adamant about raising me up as properly disciplined man, even if he had to knock me sideways to do that. Each morning he raised when dawn was just half thin line of light on the horizon, leaving my mother still dozing. Leaping to the ground from his bunk as softly as possible, he'd shake me roughly awake. "Oh, Paul, it's morning. Up, up, up." If I complained too much or rolled away, he'd just grab me by the waist and pull me out of my bed in a tangle of sheets and arms. When I was lucky, I'd get my feet under me before the rest of me hit the floor. When I wasn't, well, at least I learned how to take a fall. A good lesson for the future. Once we were both more or less awake, we went to the laundry and splashed water on our faces and chest. The water was always freezing cold, and in the chill of the air, morning, it raised goosebumps on my skin, but the chill wouldn't last long. Like any survivor, my father was a jack-of-all-trades, an accomplished amateur carpenter and handyman. Out of stray pieces of wood and recycled rubbish, rice sacks, rope, and large cans that still smelled faintly of cooking oil, he made a makeshift gym, and we would greet sunrise with a workout that left me breathless and soaked with perspiration. We would run, lift bags, filled with sand, do military-style push-ups, and spend hours practicing martial arts. Though I was just 4 or 5 years old, already my father was teaching me the basic northern-style kung fu. It may seem strange that such a young child, would be learning how to fight. You have to remember, though, that to us Chinese, kung fu isn't just a mean of self-defense. In some ways, the history of kung fu is the history of China. Legend says that kung fu was invented by Bodhidharma, the monk who traveled from India to China to spread Buddha's teaching. When he arrived at the great temple of Shaolin, Bodhidharma was turned away by the skeptical Shaolin brothers. He then took up residence in a small cave near the temple and meditated there for nearly a decade. Over the years, the Shaolin monks watched in awe of Bodhidharma, stared intently without sleeping or even blinking. At the wall of his cave, after 9 years, the power of the stair bore a hole through the wall into the daylight. The display of discipline led the monks to believe Bodhidharma. I know what it is, but I can never pronounce his name. Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma. And the great teacher. And says, "How can we learn how to be like you?" they asked. And so Bodhidharma taught them about the great wisdom of Buddhism and the power of meditation, but found that no matter how the monks tried, they were not strong enough to resist sleep and other temptation. As a result, he wrote a manual called The Classic of Muscle Change, blueprinting the series of exercises to toughen the body and mind. Over time, the Shaolin monks adapted these exercises into Chinese kung fu. Kung fu translates loosely into English as skill. By the time of the Tang Dynasty, which they call China's heroic age, kung fu had diverged into many different skills. Turning the page here. Okay. Let's see. Just my Facebook page. You people can't see it, but I'm just looking at something, a message someone just sent me. Okay. So next page here, let's see. It's many different styles. The southern styles, which emphasize strong defensive postures and powerful fist techniques, and the northern, which are flowing, acrobatic, and focused on dynamic spinning kicks. When the Tang Emperor Wang Shih Chi, faced a revolt in the countryside. It was warrior monks from the Shaolin Temple and defeated the rebels. Spreading the legend of their boxing abilities and turning kung fu into something every gentleman of quality should know. although skills with the sword, the spear, and the staff were always an important part of Chinese martial arts, it was unarmed techniques that were most admired. A master of Chinese boxing was deadly even when alone, not one with his iron fist and lightning legs. When the Manchu invaders conquered China in the 7th century, study of martial arts were outlawed, but the spirit of Kung Fu could not die. Rebels loyal to the true emperor gathered in the underground societies called triads, developing the art of Kung Fu in secret. By the turn of the century, the triads had turned into an extensive network of revolutionaries committed to driving out the Manchus in their western allies and restoring Chinese rule. The arrival of the year 1900 triggered the Boxer Rebellion, an uprising by triads convinced that their mysterious skills would protect them from the bullets of the hatred foreigners. Unfortunately, they were wrong. Thousands of triad members were killed, and the rest were driven into hiding in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, and even in the West. In China, Kung Fu was suppressed for generations. Its masters dead or in exile, while the disgraced and broken triads degenerated into brutal criminal gangs. But the crackdown on Kung Fu in China only led to its spread throughout the world. Now, the techniques of Kung Fu are practiced everywhere by those who realize that it builds the character traits that led to greatness, strength, patience, courage, and subtlety. That's the word. My father believed this more than anyone. To him, learning Kung Fu was the same as learning how to be a man. And frankly, I think I need some coffee here. I feel like a little kid here. I'm going to drink a little bit of coffee with my stevia in it. Yeah, I'm going to have like a little cake tonight or something, but it is Jackie Chan's birthday, but I'm still eating kind of, special, the way I've been eating for my breakfast. I'm having some coffee here. Okay. Let's see. I look at my Facebook page and stuff, and I'm looking, oh, by the way, everyone, thank you for, listening to my show. Thank you very much for supporting this. And what I'm doing is, since it's Jackie Chan's 60th birthday, today I am doing two shows. I don't know what time I will be doing the live stream later, because I actually have to get dressed for that. I can't be in my pajamas. I know someone says, hey, you can start a trend, but I'm going to be wearing a Traditions t-shirt later on from Donna Dragons Wilson's company, so I want to make sure I'm actually kind of dressed. I want to represent, but I will be reading the stuff probably over once again on the show and live stream later on, and I'm going to be doing it. I'll be running my first show by myself. I don't know if today will be a day of doing live stream, but I'm just going to test it out later anyway. But back to the I Am Jackie Chan. It says, which emphasized, this is, where did I go? And the Tang Emperor, all those skills with the sword, the spear. It was warrior monks in the Shaolin Temple defeated the rebels, spreading the legend of their boxing abilities. Did I read this already? This is what I get for losing my place. And turning Kung Fu into something every gentleman of quality should know. All those skills with the sword, the spear, and the staff were always an important part of Chinese martial arts. It was the unarmed techniques that were most admired. A master of Chinese boxing was deadly even when alone and armed only with his iron fist and lightning legs. When the Manchu invaders conquered China in the 17th century, study of martial arts were outlawed. I did read this, didn't I? Brain fart time. But the spirit of Kung Fu could not die. Rebels loyal to the true emperor gathered in underground societies called triads. Yeah, I did read this. Oh, boy, I'm a fart right now, didn't I? Blocks and Rebellion. Unfortunately, they were wrong. Thousands of triad members were killed, and the rest were driven into hiding in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and even in the West. In China, Kung Fu was suppressed for generations. Its masters dead or in exile with disgraced and broken triads degenerated into brutal criminal gangs. But the crackdown on Kung Fu in China only led to its spread throughout the world. Now, the technique of Kung Fu are practiced everywhere by those who realize that it builds character and traits that led to greatness, strength, patience, courage, and subtlety. Yeah, it is the word I can't pronounce. Yeah, okay, I see where I am. My father believed this more than anyone. To him, learning Kung Fu was the same as learning how to be a man. And frankly, I was a big disappointment. Lazy and impatient by nature, at first I practiced under his watchful eye, only out of fear, and if I didn't, he'd demonstrate his techniques on me, his useless son. Worse yet, when I finally realized that his training was making me strong, tough, and a fearsome opponent for any cut, stupid enough to get in my way, I brought my dad's worst nightmare to life. I went from being a brat to being a brawler. I found out quickly that fighting was fun, when you won anyway, and it soon became one of my favorite hobbies, next to eating. Well, nothing really compared to eating. Even now, I guess I'd have to say that nothing compares to the pleasure of a good, hearty meal. But in my own defense, I never got into fights without good reason, or at least a reason that seemed good at the time. I mentioned that the ambassador's family was always very nice to us, but you couldn't say that same for some of our neighbors. When we were poor Chinese, living as servants in the home of rich, important Westerner, the other Westerner kids thought it a shame that the ambassador's wife encouraged the children to play with me. These bullies made it in their lobby to pick on me, their hobby to pick on me, which was okay, and all my friends, which was not. Don't mess with my friends, ever. There's a lesson I'm always willing to teach with my fists. My closest companion in the world at the time was the ambassador's youngest daughter, a beautiful little girl who called me her boyfriend. I accepted the role with pride. Anyone who dared to make her cry would soon find himself on the ground with me and all my chubby weight on top. Unfortunately, my dad didn't care about my chivalrous efforts to defend my young friend's honor. For the first time he found me seated on the screaming boy of one of the neighbor's boys, bruised by cowering victor, he grabbed me by the scruff of my neck and pulled me into the house. "Dad, I won," I shouted, causing my mother to peek her head out of the laundry room in alarm. "Dad, ow!" I was more scared of my father when he was silent than when he was shouting. When he yelled at me, I knew I'd get a spanking and it made me worse. Pain never bothered me much. After all, it went away eventually, and at least after a spanking, I'd be free to do whatever I wanted. But when my dad was quiet, I had no idea what he would do next, except that I wouldn't enjoy it. My mother watched as my father pulled me down the corridor past our room, where spanking usually took place, into the alcove where trash was stored. "What's wrong, Dad? I won," I said, my voice trembling. His eyes flashed, and I flounced away from him. "I did not teach you Kung Fu so you could beat up your friends," he said, eyes dripping from his words. "I'm teaching you how to fight so you never have to fight at all." "Well, he wasn't my friend," I counteracted. My dad turned bright red. Without another word, he pushed me into the alcove, which was full and stinking with day's garbage. I stumbled to my knees and heard the door being slammed and locked behind me. In the corridor, my mother said something to my father, who barked back in a response before both voices disappeared into the distance. I looked around on my surroundings. The alcove was tiny and crowded. I could reach out with both of my arms and touch both walls, or at least I could have if the walls hadn't been lined with bins and bags of trash. There was no route to the alcove, allowing the dim lighting of the sun to trickle into space. I suspected that it would be there long after the moon took over, gingerly sitting down on the floor and resting my back against the locked door. I made myself as comfortable as possible and tried to take a nap. I didn't care what my dad said when I jumped on that bully, my little friend who looked at me like I was a hero. If a hero's place was out with the trash, well, I'd take it as an honor. Too bad I was going to miss dinner. A faint tapping roused me from my dozing. I realized that my stomach was rumbling with hunger. Even as a boy, my body always demanded food on a regular and sizable basis. "Pow, pow," said my mother in a whisper from behind the door. "Look up." The doorway to the alcove had a narrow space above for ventilation. My mom is a small woman, but by reaching up with both arms and standing up on her tiptoes, she could just place her fingertips into the crack. As I raised my head, a crisp white paper package fell from the ventilation space into my lap, pushed through by my loving mother's hands. Inside the wrapping was a sandwich made of warm, soft bread and roast meat. Without even thanking my mom, I began gobbling the food, only half listening to the pounding sound of my mother's feet walking back down the corridor to our family bedroom. As I said, my mom is the best mom in the world. I'm going to cry. Shoot, I'm going to cry in this book. Oh, am I, oh my God, Jackie's got me crying right now. Oh gosh, Jackie, you got me crying. Oh, I feel so lame. I'm crying about this page. Oh gosh. Oh gosh, yeah. It's wonderful, Jackie. Thank you for sharing that in your book. It says, the next morning I was rudely awakened by the opening of the door against which I was leaning. I fell backward into the corridor, blinking up at the expressionless face of my father. Paul, it's morning. Time to get up, he said, instructing me to help him move the heavy bins of trash out for collection. By the time that was done, dawn had arrived, and it was time to beat the sun with our morning workout. And what I'm going to do is take a little break. I don't have all the songs, but I want to take a little break. And if all the dreams out there, I will be back. And what I'm doing is playing a feel-good song. It's a song by Tony J. It's If I Could Fly, and I'm going to play it now, and I will be right back.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. Money, that's all I know. I'm blowing out, girl, cause I'm so fly. I know, oh, you don't know no one like me. It might be that I'm so, oh, close to the ground and I'm down here dealing with real life. It make me wanna take you by the hand like now we taking off. Just as quick as your clothes, I'll take you higher. Baby, just so you know, I'm a rider. And if I'm on the road, you know I'm thinking about you till I fly back home. I'm telling you, I wanna be the kind of guy that I always wanna be there for you. Go through the stormiest weather just so we can be together.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky.
If you wanna see a star, I could be a Superman in the air, I could rescue you. I could let you hold my hand, I will let you go almost anywhere if you wanna go far. Cloud nine, only for the night, you look good and I wanna make you mine. But about time, I gotta catch a flight, I hate to say it, baby girl, but your time's up, time's up. I guess you out of luck, girl, I'll be back and we can travel the world. Baby, you ain't gotta worry about a thing. I could put you under my wings.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd soar through these clouds watching planes go by. And as I go by, I'll be looking down on you. You'll be looking up at me. Soon you will see.
Tony J with If I Could Fly, and now back to reading Jackie Chan's book. And the reason why I'm doing this in two shows is because we all know the man behind the stunts and, you know, him and the Guinness Book of World Records and all these things and all his achievements. But the thing is, you know, want to, you know, show people, not just, I'll be showing, I'll be talking about it live later on. I don't know the exact time I will be airing the live stream one, and I will be reading about this all again. But it's also to show, you know, Jackie Chan is a human being. And, you know, I wish I could have, you know, you think about this, really. It's Jackie's 60th birthday. He's a man that probably has everything he's ever wanted. And it's like, really, someone like myself, what could I really give to this man as a birthday present if he's got everything? Do you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have no wants or needs or anything like that. And maybe someday I can cook him breakfast. I know that's kind of scary, but no, I've been learning how to cook, and I think I can make something happy and healthy. I can make my special pancakes for Jackie. I like to cook for Jackie Chan. No, seriously, I would love to cook for Jackie Chan because he's always hungry, so I would make my special pancakes for him. Not only are they healthy, but I think that would fill him up. I guess he always likes to eat, so maybe that someday I could do it. But my own way, birthday present to Jackie, I mean, I don't, you can call this just trying from my heart, reading about his book live on the air, and I think this is stuff that people would really like to know because I have two copies of the I Am Jackie Chan book, and they both are falling apart. I'll show you guys what exactly what it looks like and what I've done to actually keep the book together, and everything that I have of Jackie, and stuff that I have, I will be showing live on the air later. So I will actually be doing that. And I will be wearing a Traditions t-shirt with Donna Dragon Wilson's company. I will be wearing that later on. I don't know what time, but I will let everybody know. And it's, I know it's a beautiful day out, so I might wait a couple hours to start the live stream later on. So I will try to be doing that later on. But back to the thing here, going about the school days. He goes, thinking back to those few years on the peak, I'd have to say I was happy. I could have been content spending the rest of my life in that house, helping my mom fold clothes, watching my dad curse as he chopped vegetables, and explain the world as I saw it to my friend, the ambassador's daughter. Even the early morning workouts, as painful as they were, had a beautiful side. As the sun rose up over the mountain, it painted the city and the bay between below in the gold like a giant chest of treasure. So it came as a nasty surprise when my father told me my days of innocence was coming to an end. School, I shouted, stomping my foot in rage. School was the place where the neighbor's kid wasted all the best parts of the day. It meant dressing up in sissy clothes, spending hours in a stifling classroom, and learning things that were of no use to anyone. I could learn everything I needed to right here at home, probably more. Of course, I like other arguments I had with my father. This one was a complete waste of time. And so a few days later, I found myself taking my first bus ride down the peak to Nanhua Elementary Academy, N-A-N-H-U-A Elementary Academy. On my way down, I ate my lunch. Even though I just finished my breakfast, Nanhua was a very good school, one of the best in the area, and I was extremely lucky to have a chance to go there. The teachers were patient. The classroom, what's the matter, kitty? What? What? Cat just meowed at me. I think she wants some attention. I need a little break. What's the matter, kitty, kitty, kitty? And yes, people, I was crazy enough to name my cat after Jackie Chan. I don't know how he thinks about that, but believe me, it's all out of honor, and I named this cat. You know, it actually is something that is something, a big part of craziness that I do in my life. I actually found her in my backyard. And, you know, like with anything in my life, I always think that animals deserve a second chance. And something that I did name her, the only thing that came to my mind when she came running around was Jackie Chan. Because she was running. Oh, come here, little one. I want to read you the book from Jackie Chan. Come here. Come here. You want to read? Come here. Come here. Come here. Oh, by the way, Jackie Chan has two cats. One is Ding Ding and one is Dong Dong. And Dong Dong, yes. He named his two cats Ding Ding and Dong Dong. Yes, 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 yes. And I know which one is which. Someday, maybe I can pet those kitties. Because, honest to God, I love cats. And his two cats, his name is Ding Ding and Dong Dong. I'm sorry, but it's the truth, and you just gotta love Jackie, and I just love his cats, and I'm a cat person. I can't help it. I love kitty cats, and me and my cat after Jackie Chan. But I was like, I call her Jackie Chan, and when she's a little nasty kitty, and she swings from the curtains. No, I'm not kidding. I am not kidding about my kitty cat, Jackie Chan. I am not kidding. I try to get to her and go, Jackie, 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 because she will put her paws in the curtains itself. What happens is she gets some sock, and she goes, wow, in the curtains, and she starts swinging. And it's something that she really truthfully does. So she starts swinging like a ninja to the curtains. Hence, Jackie Chan. I like Jackie Chan, and she's such a very sweet cat. She's a calico kitty. She's looking at me, and she's like, love me. Love me, love me, love me the way I am. Yes, kitty, come here. And I actually, she has this little thing that she knows, and I do, you know how like with Bruce Lee, and he goes, he waves his hand, does that thing. Well, when I do that, that's a sign for, come here, kitty. may take her a second, but she actually will come when I do the wave like Bruce Lee. So I'm like, come here, mommy, kitty, kitty, Jackie. Oh, she's all mad at me. I'm reading from the Book of Chan. Come here, kitty. Kimmy, yes, I love you, kitty. We're going to watch a Jackie Chan film. Yes, it's people, it's, you tuning in. If you're tuning into my show with my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty here, it is a very big weekend. It is actually Jackie Chan's 60th birthday, and he started off, he's been kind of celebrating all week long he's been celebrating. He actually had a charity. Let me see. Oh, Christy. Say this last on the show. You probably can YouTube it later. Probably YouTube. Hold on for a second before I go back to reading this. YouTube it later. If I find it, I will post it. Oh, good kitty. So one of my friends, Christy Ann, she's doing exam, and just to let you know, anybody that I'm going to try to find the link to the concert, and I will post later. Hold on for a second. I got the cat trying to pay attention to me. So I'm going to post on my Facebook wall. Hold on, before I go back to reading the book. I go, once I find the link to Jackie's Chan's concert he did a few hours ago, I will post on my wall for all to watch. Yeah, Jackie did a charity event. Okay, Andy, let's see what Andy said here. One of my friends, Andy, who has a cat named Buddy. Okay. One of my friends, Justin Hughes from United Kingdom. There's this thing going around, and it's like, I'm not up to keep promoting about Hitler and stuff, but he just did this funny thing. If you guys even know about this thing, he posted something in reaction. Jackie Chan even scares the heck out of Hitler, and it's something that he did. It's this thing that's been going around, and Hitler's even afraid of Jackie Chan. It's just something you have to, I can't even show this to you guys out there. It's just it's something, you know, you'd have to go to my Facebook wall to actually appreciate this. So I'm trying to respond to people on Facebook before I actually, you know, I'm posting stuff to my Twitter. Like I said, I run the whole everything by myself. I don't have an assistant. So I'm going back. I'm trying to keep track of all my Twitter things and doing everything right here. Okay, Christy, let's see. Yes. Okay. Oh, let's see. Oh, if you can go. Take pictures and post on my wall, please. I guess this is the museum. I thought it was already opened up, but I thought it was open. It was opened. Okay, let's see. I wonder if I can actually find that link. Let's see, ladies and gentlemen, while I'm live on the air, let's see if I can find the link to Jackie Chan's concert, Chan Charity Concert, 60th birthday. I know a lot of people, they really want to see this. Let's see. I'm trying to find, let's see. trying to find the cherry thing. No, that's not it. You ever just Google things and you're like, what the heck here? Crazy stuff that comes up. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff that comes up when you're trying to find, let's see. The Peace and Love Concert, maybe, let's see, it's to help it, let me copy and paste. Okay, let me see if I can find this, because I know there's people that are really, really busy, but they want to see the concert. So I'm trying to, I hope I can find it too. Let's see. I'm trying very hard. Maybe I can find the link for people, because I know this would really, really make people happy if I find the link to his, I cannot find anything. It's not, let's see. Maybe they'll post it later on YouTube. Let's see. I wonder if I can actually find it. Everybody knows I'm really good at finding stuff like this. Really, really, really. Let me look. Let's see. Where can I find it? Where can I look? Trying to find this. Let's see. I'm just looking. Oh, boy. Wow. Well, it's time to school somebody here. Let's see something. Let's see. I'm just trying to look at something here. I'm just trying to see. I'm just trying to look up something here. I'm just trying to find something. Someone's trying to help ask me about something. I'm just looking up stuff here. Let's see. I'm just looking. I'm just trying to, I'm just looking something up. Looking here, so. Okay. Let me see. I'm just looking right here. Just looking on some stuff here. Just trying to. I can't find it. I really can't find it. Isn't that a bummer? I can't find this for somebody. I really wanted to find the link. Maybe they just don't have it. Don't see it. Hmm. Let's see. I guess maybe they just don't have it yet. Maybe there's no link yet for the concert. I'm looking everywhere. I don't see it. Well, let's see. I'm going to do a little search, so I want to play a little song, and I'll be right back. Let me see if I can find the link, and then I'll get back to reading about Jackie, his book. So give me one moment. I'm going to play a feel-good song. It's by Laz and Cat of Triceptive Studios. Feel.
Yeah. Laz Ritz. Cat of P. Miss Smith and Envy. For the little 9 yard. Yeah. Check this out. Yeah, Triceptus Studio. Check it, yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant dog on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
I like the way you always touching on me. I like the way you put yours on my body. I like the way you always on my mind. I like the way how you do it every time.
Prime time player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to bliss. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel alive. But do that now, don't waste no time.
By Laz and Cat of Triceptus Studios. So I'm looking to see, trying to get in here and reading more stuff from his Jackie Chan's book. So I was trying to, as I took a break, I'm trying to find the link of the concert. You know, of the concert for Jackie Chan's concert, but cannot find it. Cannot find it for the charity event. Oh gosh, can't find it. Can't find it at all. Cannot find it. see. I'm just responding here. It says, I'm just looking at stuff here. I guess I'm sorry. I wish I could find it. I'm just talking to Christy on here, who's been a friend on my Facebook page, and she's been studying. Yeah, she's studying, so I was trying very hard to actually try to find the link. So if anybody actually has the link to the concert for Jackie Chan's, to his concert, sorry if I sound like I'm a little off here. I'm just trying to respond to people on my Facebook page. I just think that, let's see. I'm just trying to find the link. That's why I sound a little bit preoccupied, because I know a few people really want to see the concert of Jackie Chan's concert. He just ended a couple hours ago. I'm just trying very hard to find it. Let's see. I can't find it. I wish I could find that link. I'm Googling and everything I can. Oh, gosh. Maybe it'll come up. Maybe it'll come up somewhere. Let's see, I'm just trying to... Yoy, yoy, yoy. I can't find it. I'm sorry, people. I can't find it. No, I'm sorry. Can't find it. Sorry. I've tried. I'm trying. It ain't working. Maybe later on I can actually post it. Sorry. Just can't find it. I'm trying to. I'm trying very much. Can't find it. Nope, can't find it. Maybe I can try to find it later on. After the show here. Okay. Oh, I'm checking. Louis Aponte. Those people. I just started. I think two people. I'm viewing. I'm bringing up my live stream, and two people following me on my live stream. I don't even know if I'm actually doing this right. So I'm actually looking at my live stream. Let's see. Is that my trying to see this? It's gonna take me a while to like try to figure this out for the live stream. Let's see. How much time do I got left now? What time is it? It's like 1:25. Really? Seriously? It's already 1:25? Oh boy. Let's see. Looking here. Let's lead. Come here. She's just crawling all over the place. Come here, Jackie Chan. I don't have Jackie Chan. I mean, my cat's named Jackie Chan. I'm going, come here, Jackie Chan. Come here. All insulting is that way. You go, come here, Jackie Chan. Come here, Jackie Chan, with the cat. I'm having a little cough attack here. Oh, boy. Let's see. Meow, meow, meow. Good girl. So I'm trying to bring the book back over here. Where did I leave off? Let's see, to read a little bit more. I think I'm going to read about a scooty. I'm trying to pet the cat. Hold the telephone to my ear and open the book, because she's just dying for some attention, you know. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to pet the kitty and actually, you know, yeah. watch her. I wonder what her reaction is going to be when I go live stream, because she's just like rubbing up against me in the phone. Hey. Hey, kitty, 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 kitty. Okay, I'm going to go back to reading something else here. Let's see. I'm going to read a little bit more. Let me see how many pages this is. It's about, there's school days. Okay, here we go. Jackie Chan school days. Thinking back to those 3 years living on the peak, I'd have to say I was happy. I could have been content spending the rest of my life in that house, helping my mom fold clothes, watching my dad curse as he chopped vegetables, and explaining the world as I saw it to my friend, the ambassador's daughter. Even the early morning workouts, as painful as they were, had a beautiful side as the sun rose up over the mountain and painted the city and the bay below in gold, like a giant chest of treasure. So it came to a nasty surprise when my father told me my days of innocence were coming to an end. School, I shouted, stomping my foot in rage. School was the place where the neighbor's kids wasted all the best parts of the day, and then dressing up in sissy clothes, spending hours. Did I read this already? Did I? I must have read this already. Boy, I am not on top of any of Shelly Nunchuck's game. I'm trying to think of, I must be boring the hell out of you guys all. Let's see. I hated from the instant I walked through the schoolyard gates. Every minute I spent there was torture except for lunch hour and occasionally gym. Trapped in a classroom with nothing to do but puzzle out the words in my text or listen to the drowning voice of the teacher. I almost missed the aches and pains of my father's morning regimen. A sore body was better than a numb brain any day. The boredom was forced me to find ways of amusing myself. I'd make faces at other students or thump rhythm at the desk with my palms or falling out of my chair by accident over and over again. After a few nosy but enjoyable disruptions, the teacher would usually drag me out in the hall. Chang Kong saying you'll never amount to anything, she'd tell me, her face stretched out in anger. It would be all I could do to avoid breaking into laughter. It really was a funny expression. In those days, teachers could be creative with their punishment. Usually, I'd have to stand for the rest of the period holding a desk over my head. Sometimes, I'd have to wear a sign around my neck explaining the nature of my crime, like, this is a nosy, ill-behaved boy, or this boy lost all of his books, or this boy had not done his homework. Now, this is really kind of funny, if you really, really think about it. For me, well, in my own personal life, like I said, I've never really liked school either when I was younger. And, you know, people have idols and such, and you just sit there and you just totally wonder, you know, why people's idols are their idols. Because I think what it is when you actually, you know, when you actually have an idol, I think it's basically you can actually relate to them. So, like myself, as having, you know, in school, I never liked school. Never liked school at all. And it's just something that I just feel like, you know, with Jackie, I can actually relate. Just something that I think I really, really can. Looking to see. I'm just looking. Looking at something here. Once again, I went back. I'm trying to see if it did come up. I was trying to write to someone about. I'm sorry, I interrupted my reading with the book, but I was trying to kind of seriously find out a trailer, not trailer, but trying to actually. I guess it was trying to write back to me about the concert, and I was trying to, I tried to get something for somebody to see if they could actually bring something up, try to find something. Let's see. Yeah. People actually know they're trying to help me out. Yeah, we're all trying to, people, it's like I know that, I'm trying to Yeah, I'm just trying to, I know you guys can't see it, but I was just trying to answer something here. Sorry about that. I spaced out a little bit here, but I'm trying to do a couple things. Just wondering if people could help me find that, because there's a couple of people that actually missed the concert. I know a lot of people wanted to actually see the Jackie Chan, the concert that he actually had. People were actually interested, and I was trying to find the link. But listen, I will try find the link to Jackie Chan's concert that he just had, ended, I think, a couple hours ago. Just remember that I think China, where the concert was like 12 hours ahead of us. So just remember, I'm trying to see if it's anywhere whatsoever. If I find the concert or link to Jackie Chan's concert, it was for charity. I will paste it on my Facebook page to share with people if they want to see it out. If I can, maybe someone will find it and post the link on my wall. So I think that's what I'm going to actually let me see. Let me just type this. If anyone finds the link to Jackie Chan's concert just had, please feel free to do so. I would like to tag a friend. She had to study. She had to study and missed the concert. She had to study and missed the concert. Looking to find a way for her to see it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I just put that on there. So if anybody out there, if they find the link to the concert for Jackie Chan's charity concert, please feel free to paste it on my Facebook page. One of the young girls, one of my Facebook friends, I think it's Christy Yan, I think she did say, Christy, she missed the concert in Beijing yesterday. She had exams to do. She didn't have exams to do. She would have went to the concert. So anybody that can actually do this, if you can so kindly, paste a link on my Facebook page, and I will tag her in that because she's a big fan of Christy is a big, big fan of Jackie Chan. So if anybody can find a link to Jackie's concert, I'm actually going to if I can find it, I will post it to her wall personally so she can enjoy it. She's been a good girl. She's working hard on exams and stuff. Getting back to Jackie Chan's school days, I have a little while to read on. Let's see. In those days, teachers could be creative with their punishments. Usually I had to stand for the rest of the period holding a desk over my head. Sometimes I'd have to wear a sign around my neck explaining the nature of the crime, like, this is a noisy, ill-behaved boy, or this boy lost all of his books, or this boy has not done his homework. Sometimes it would just say in a couple of characters, useless, to be honest. I couldn't read very well back then, so I'd have to take my teacher's word as to what they said. Standing out in the hall was peaceful at last, and if no one was looking, I gently put the desk down, lean against the wall, and catch a few winks. Learning how to sleep standing up was probably the most useful thing school ever taught me. Actually, now I regret not having paid more attention in school. You can't even go back again. I'll never know the pleasures of the classics or higher mathematics or the great lessons of history. Once in a while, I wonder what would have happened if I had taken the other path, the one that led to high school and college and respectable career in business or maybe law or medicine. I could have been the world's most famous doctor instead of the world's most famous patient. I never get the hang of being a student. Each morning before I left, my mother would give me money for the bus ride home. Not wanting me to take the long hike up the peak in the evening, well, I usually use the money to buy snacks and then rely on the kindness of strangers to get a ride home. It's surprisingly how many strangers are willing to pick up a small, ragged-looking Chinese boy walking up the side of the mountain. If I had no luck hitchhiking, I'd walk home, which would take hours to save time. I usually take a shortcut the last couple of 100 feet and scramble up the side of a cliff that would put me in our backyard. With any luck, I'd be able to sneak in the rear entrance and find my mom before my dad found me. When I wasn't lucky, which was often enough at the top of the climb, the first thing I'd see were my father's work shoes. Looking up, I'd see the rest of my dad, his face rigid with rage. Without a word, he'd grab my arms and haul me up, marching into the house, down the hall, and into the garbage room, not even letting me change out of my school clothes first. Dad wasn't the only obstacle I have to get past my daily trip back home. As I dragged myself up the cliff, sweaty and annoyed, I'd hear braying laughter, ha, 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 like a pack of hyenas. Hey, guys, look, the monkey's on this mountain. The neighbor's bullies who tormented my friend, the ambassador's daughter, were rich enough to have drivers take them up and down the mountain. So by the time I got back home, they were already be there waiting for me. What's the matter, boy? Lose your bus money? Or are you too poor for the bus? Hey, what'd you expect? His parents are just servants anyway. I'd be tired, my shirt tails hanging out, my face smudged, but a second later, I'd be making the biggest of the bullies eat a dirt sandwich. Those fights weren't like in the movies. There isn't anything pretty or graceful about a fight between two young kids. Everything in arms and legs, poked eyes and ripped clothing, and sharp gravel stuck in awkward pinces. Even the winner ends up looking like an avalanche survivor. And I wasn't always the winner. I remember one fight when this wealthy little brat was pounding. I was pounding on, grabbed me by the legs, and pulled me off balance. I went down, and he went down on top of me. My body hit the high ground. My head hit an even hotter rock. Everything went dark. The boy I was fighting was with the son of another ambassador. I don't remember what country. As soon as he saw me, stiff and motionless on the ground, he ran to find his father. The other kid scattered. When his dad came over, he turned white with horror. If I die, there surely be a scandal. This was an international incident in that making. These days, maybe I would have sued them, but at the time, I couldn't do anything. Anyway, I woke up in my bed in the dark, a huge bump on my head, feeling nauseated. Little flashes of light, like tiny comets, seemed to shoot through the blackness, and my entire skull hurt. I was floating in a bath of pain. The door opened, and my father walked in. "Ah, Paul," he said, "this is from your friend." I lifted my head with effort and saw a parcel in his arms, a large, fancy box of chocolates. I think they were French, even. Dad brought it over and set it down to the bed and quickly left to go cook dinner. Even though I was sick to my stomach, I was also hungry. Well, I was always hungry. That box of chocolates, the entire box, didn't even last an hour. I crawled back into bed, trying hard not to throw up. After all, they were French chocolates, and I didn't want to waste them. Getting hit in the head, I turned into the best thing that had happened to me in a long time. That didn't last long. When my father came back, smelling of scallions and sesame oil, he saw the crumbled tissue paper scattered around the bed and the sweet smear of chocolate around my mouth and exploded. "You ate the whole box?" he shouted. "Oh," I said, calm rising in my throat. Without another word, he pulled me out of bed and gave me a sound spanking. If I were well enough to eat 4 dozen milk chocolates, some with cherry liquor centers, I was well enough to take my medicine. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. I never did any homework. I'd tear my good school clothes in fights or in scrambles up in my special shortcut. I'd throw my books and school book off the peak, giving no thought to the fact that my parents would only have to buy me new ones. Each time I'd face the music, lectures, spankings, a night in the trash room with a shrug and a smirk. I'd end up being told I'd have to repeat the first year of my primary school, and even if I wasn't learning anything, my parents were. They were beginning to realize that their son was not the scholarly type. My parents pulled me out of school, and I went back to my old routine of following my mom around and getting under my dad's skin. And that was the end of my academic career. I guess I thought I was pretty smart, getting out of school that way. I watched the rich kids driving down the mountain to a fresh day of hell, laughing at myself, and I looked forward to another warm afternoon on my own. The last laugh would be on me. I imagine the conversation is having happened something like this. My mother and father ran into another one in the corridor that dominated our world. "Lily, we have to talk about our Paul." My mother, afraid what was coming next, remained silent, but reluctantly nodded. "The boy is out of control," my father said. "He has no direction, no self-respect," she said in defense, sounding tentative. "He needs to learn how to be a man." Then they talked about the future and about the painful subject of money. The post with the French ambassador had been a lifesaver, but it was not allowing them to save anything. My father's cooking and my mother's housekeeping had impressed the ambassador's friends to no end. Other job offers had come. Some of them were too good to ignore. One of them was too good to pass up, a job as head cook for American Embassy in Australia. Not only would the job pay more, it would also give us the chance to get Australian residency, maybe even a chance someday to move to the United States. Even back then, there was uncertainty about the mainland, and my father had learned from personal experience that in uncertainty lay danger. But taking the job in Australia would mean leaving the family behind, at least for the time being. And while my mom was a strong woman, I was too big now to be put into a wash bin and left to splash around. Finally, Dad, a guy's guy to the bone, went back to the traditional source of advice from men all over the world, his drinking buddies. They'd help him decide to keep me, even lending my dad money to pay for my mom's operation. Now they suggested a way to get rid of me for my own good. It's a hard life, but a good one. He'll get some discipline. Maybe he'll even become a star. And they all shared a hearty laugh. But the decision was made. My dad would take me to a place that would become my home for the next decade of my life. Lee Jun Young, China Drama Academy. And that's where that is. So what, I got about 10 more minutes of reading. Let's see. What else should I read? Because once again, I am going to go do live stream this afternoon sometime. It might be a couple of hours from now, but I am kind of setting it up. And that was before he went to the Drama Academy. And as we all know, that he actually met his two big brothers, Sammo Hung and Yun Bao, that way and through the academy. Okay, let's see. I'm going back. Let's see what it says. I'm just looking up something here. Yeah. Okay, give me one moment. Louis Aponte, thank you for the follow. And he favored a couple of my tweets here. A couple of my followers, just give it a shout. Luz Aponte, thank you for the support. Thank you very much. Luz Aponte, one of my followers, it says, author of Death of a Gas Guzzler, screenwriter, board game inventor, and vegan. L.A., California, West Palm Beach, Smashwords. This is what Luz Aponte, A-P-O-N-T-E, smashwords.com/booksview. It's all this stuff on, let's see. I'm just tweeting. Supporters, there you go. I'm actually going to tweet something. Let's just like favorite, retweet. Anybody that's following me, I just throw up some retweets there. But I actually, the funny thing is, I actually, I'm actually favoriting and retweeting. Let's see if I can find, let me see if I can, what is that ding? Someone's banging. If you hear some banging, I don't know what's going on. Someone's banging next door. Let's see if I can find one of my followers. What are they doing? let's see if I can find this guy. I'm one of this guy's, Louis Aponte. Man, you know how many people have double names? I don't even know what this guy is on Facebook. He's been following me, and he's been tweeting my stuff for a while now. So if I can't find him on Facebook, dude, where are you on Facebook? You got Facebook? You on Facebook? You on Facebook? If so, how do I find you? Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's like, what's it say? Death of a Gas Guzzler, official selection, 15 Minutes of Fame, Film Festival in 2012. So this is actually from his Twitter account, and every once in a while he's favoring stuff on my Twitter page. So I'm going to try to find this guy. Actually, you know what's funny about Twitter, though? On one of my film brothers, Jay Giannone, I kind of, retweeted over 1,000 tweets from his page one day, and I kind of blocked my Twitter account. I guess you're not supposed to do that. I didn't know. I just kept doing it because he was looking to get, some extra stuff here on his, how did I do? It says tweets 11.2K. What does 11.2K mean on your Twitter? Does that mean 11,000 tweets. What does 11.2? I don't know. Retweeting stuff on my Twitter thing. Because there's people, it's like, you know, it seems like it happens all at once. Like all of a sudden I get this thing where a couple people will just do that on my Twitter page. So I'm just like, I'm going up and down. Let's see, just retweeting and favoring things off my Twitter page here. So I'm trying to find some people on here from my Twitter page, and I would assume people have Facebook pages. Let's see. I don't even know what some of this stuff is. Twitter gets me dizzy. Oh, let's see. Twitter gets me dizzy. Twitter makes me dizzy. See, I'm trying to like, oh, where is everything right here on Twitter? And then I guess when people do tweets, I'm still trying to get the hang of this. It all pops up, like 12 new tweets. Just looking. Looking. Okay. Just trying to find things. And it's like, I don't understand the thing with direct messages. They look like generic messages. So it's kind of like when someone sends me a generic messages, it's kind of like I just don't know how to respond to it sometimes. Oh, yeah. I'm just going on here. Karma Loop. Just checking on this. I'm trying to go to this person's. What the heck? Why did it bounce back? Okay. I'm just retreating. Let's see. I'm just retweeting things on my looking on here. Just going on my Twitter page. by the way, how did they come up with these names for these pages and stuff? I really want to know. Twitter, was someone drunk or something when they says come up the word Twitter? I mean, if you really think about it, how do things get named? I just don't understand. How do things get named in life? You ever sit there and wonder that? I'm just like, am I out of my mind when I say, well, how did this get named? And how did that get named? What does this mean, you know, all these things? Getting back here. I know I'm rambling on here. I think I got about 5 minutes left or something. So, yeah, I will be going live stream with later on. So I will be going and reading from Jackie's book. Again, I am from Jackie Chan this time a little while. I will be doing that once I get a little bit of things together and go live on the air. So anyway, I just wanted to thank everybody for the listen, you know, the support. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting my show. I will be getting guests on my show, and thank you so much for the listen. And as I, you know, close out my song with a song that gives me much inspiration, is Battle Song. It's from the film that I've been part of. Now, remember, I'm just only the actor, but in independent films, it does take a whole bunch of people to actually put things together. So that's sometimes when, you know, people, you know, working on it, everything's coming out of their own pocket. So this is a song that I do believe for a film with Val Kilmer, where everybody's been working very, very hard. And let alone, I am just an actress, you know, that sees everything that I'm there, everything on set. And I can't say anything. You guys have to wait to see that. But my point to bring this up is the song that I open up my show with and mostly close my show with is Battle Song, so that's why I'm talking about this right now. If you're wondering what the end of the song is in the song that I actually open up, it's called Battle Song, and it's from Falkyr, Falcyyr. And I do have to say a big thank you, and I'll probably say this again. I kind of repeat myself, but the thing is, of, you know, even though I'm thinking of, you know, stepping in down and not bothering Jackie myself, because my dream has always been to work with Jackie Chan, but, you know, The world needs Jackie more than I do. I'm pretty capable of my own 2 feet, and I'm a very functioning individual to work on my own things and my own dreams. And the thing is, because of, you know, having an idol like Jackie Chan, you know, it's something that has led me to find people in my life to be able to do my own dreams and not having to bother Jackie Chan and go, hey, Jackie. It's just something that having that dream, you know, and in finding the wonderful, beautiful things in life. And I've been an underdog my whole life. And I think that's why I can relate to Jackie, because, you know, him growing up, he was an underdog himself his whole life. And he did work for everything that he has today. Because Jackie has given me so much, I know that I can achieve a lot of my dreams in life. It's just a lot of hard work. And so many things because of Jackie, because of his hard work. And, you know, I'm just very thankful from the bottom of my heart. So I've been working really, really hard on a couple of things. And because Jackie, all that he's done in the world, he's inspiring me to try for me to be the best I can every single day. And I will just keep working on things myself. Very happy, you know, for Jackie. Happy birthday, Jackie Chan. And I don't know, can I dedicate this song to Jackie? Because it is, it's an epic song. What can I say? It fits. It's just that I know it's nothing to really do with Jackie, but Jackie's honorable man, so I kind of want to dedicate this song to Jackie today because he's epic and stuff, and it's you know, I'm trying to, it's very hard. I'm not trying to use the show to, like, promote stuff from Falcon or anything. It's just that this song means a lot to me. That song really, really means a lot to me, very, very, very much, and it's hard for me to write. So it's kind of like a film that I'm part of, and the song itself. I love that song a lot. And I hope I can just, it's okay to just dedicate it to him, because I love the song a lot. And if something means a lot to me, and I dedicate this song, you know, to someone, it just means that the song is very special in my heart. I don't know what everybody else in the whole world thinks, but this song itself, it means a lot to me. So I want to dedicate it to Jackie from the bottom of my heart, because you've done epic films. And you've inspired me so much. And now, working on things myself and finding people, thank you so much, Jackie. And I hope, listen, if you listen to this, if you're listening to me, you better have cake. Excuse me. And enjoy. Have a few drinks, celebrate. Jackie, no more working for the rest of the day for you. You've got to celebrate your birthday and have fun. Because even though you're Jackie Chan, you deserve to have some fun. Anyway, this song is for you, Jackie, because you are an epic man. It's an epic song. Battle song. Here you go, Jackie. Happy birthday, and see you guys all later on live stream.